Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast, episode number 43, are Jason Gilbert.
Good evening, all.
Dave Compton.
Hello, everybody.
And Todd Bro.
Hi there.
Welcome to the podcast, Todd. This is your first appearance, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thanks. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, tonight, we're going to return to the topic of Walt Disney World dining, a favorite topic among Diz Dads, and we'll be discussing our favorite breakfast spots in Walt Disney World. But before we get into that food talk, I do need to remind everybody again about our first ever Diz Dads convention coming up January 10th through 14th, 2013. We've been working with our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, and we're really excited about how this thing is shaping up. Now, at the moment, our block of rooms at All Star Movies is already sold out. We're going to work on trying to get a few more rooms released and available to us, but right now we still have rooms available at Port Orleans Riverside and at Wilderness Lodge, both at excellent rates, especially considering we're going to be there during Marathon Weekend. So we hope you'll be able to join us. If you'd like to, please contact a Fairy Tale Journeys by Diz Dads agent. You can find us listed if you go to DizDads.com. There's a link right there to the Fairy Tale Journeys by Diz Dads agents. And any of us can help you get booked for any vacation, but especially for this first ever Diz Dads convention. All right, so on to the topic at hand. Favorite breakfasts in Walt Disney World. We know dads love to eat. Dads love bacon. Dads love breakfast. Right? It's a pretty simple, logical syllogism there. So
doesn't love bacon.
Exactly. So I'm going to ask Jason, who's the veteran of this panel, to get us started here and to just give us one of the restaurants, one of the locations on his top five Walt Disney World breakfasts. So maybe start at the bottom of the, or start, I don't know, start at the top of the list, start at the bottom of the list, whichever you'd rather.
During dinner tonight, we went through and kind of just went over with the kids and my wife to see what we thought of, because we really like breakfast. We tend to do bigger breakfasts and get our days going with a breakfast. And coming in at number five was the Crystal Palace.
All right. And so what makes Crystal Palace your number five favorite breakfast spot at Walt Disney World?
The chocolate Mickey waffles.
Uh-huh. All right.
It's one of the only places we found them.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah, that's especially good in combination with, a little maple syrup, a little bacon, a little chocolate waffle. That's tough to beat. All right. Well, how about you, Dave? What's number five on your list?
I would say it's, number five, it's that quick, right when you get in the park, right when you get in Magic Kingdom, and it's a Main Street Bakery, and you go there for the cinnamon rolls and a nice hot cup of coffee first thing when you get in, and it just gets you going and you're ready to go for the rest of the day.
Now what's your order at Main Street Bakery? Cause I know everybody has their favorites. What's yours?
I always just get the cinnamon roll and then ask for the extra, cream cheese topping and kind of on the side. And
right.
You just pretty much dip your fork into that and then dive into the cinnamon roll at the same time. And you get a nice sugar rush going, so you're ready to go.
All right. That works. How about you, Todd? What's your number five?
My number five is Cape May Cafe, the beach breakfast they have there, the buffet. And as you'll probably see, most of my breakfasts are character breakfasts, but number five is Cape May Cafe.
Okay, and what is it specifically about Cape May that makes it qualifies it on your list?
Well, it's in the top five for sure, and the reason why is it's a great variety, and then of course the characters, you got Goofy and Donald, I believe. Last time we were there, Donald was there, and just the interaction with the characters there in a beach attire. That's the only place you can actually find them in beach attire, other than maybe at the Polynesian or something like that. Sometimes the Goofy's,
right.
Water skiing or something like that. But yeah, beach attire for the characters.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I think I'm more kind of along the lines of what Dave was talking about, because I think you'll find there's a common thread in all of my breakfast choices. And that is that my family, when we're at Walt Disney World, you know, breakfast is the eat it and get meal. It's, you know, get something in you to get you some energy for the morning and get out. So for us, on my list, number five is the breakfast choices at Everything Pop at Pop Century. There's a nice variety there. A lot of it is really quick and easy grab and go stuff. There's your basic bakery stuff. There's, you know, cold cereal kinds of things. The kids like to fill their mugs with hot chocolate. So, you know, it's choices. Everybody's got something they can get. And what we like about it is that at Pop, you know, you walk right through Everything Pop, you grab your breakfast, you can, you know, eat it as you walk and go get in line for your bus. It's like, you know, the ultimate drive-through breakfast at Walt Disney World. Doesn't get in the way of us getting right to what we're really there to do, which is to get to the parks.
Yeah, it was a very big topic in our house too, was Everything Pop for breakfast.
Yeah. All right. So we've all listed the start at the bottom. I'm going to come back around to Jason. And Jason, why don't you just go ahead and kind of walk us through the rest of your list, starting with number four.
Okay. I can certainly do that. We are a big character breakfast type family because it kind of gets us going with the characters and started on our day with a good breakfast, because as I said, we do like to have, we are a breakfast family. We'd rather do breakfast instead of sitting at lunch or breaking up our day. So we want to get it out of the way and enjoy it. At number four, we had Tusker House, because they do have a lot of different choices other than your normal American breakfast fare. There's a lot of choices that are, you know, specialties to that restaurant as well. Number three, we are at 1900 Park Fair, which we did for the first time last year, or in 2010 when we were there.
Yeah, 1900 Park Fair is kind of a little bit of a different feel for its character meal, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was, we got it at the last minute. We actually got it the morning of. We were trying to plan it the whole time. We were making our reservations. It wasn't available. I happened to wake up that morning and call and say, hey, anything available? And they're like, yeah, 10, 10:30, 11. I'm like, where were these times for the last 6 months? So that, I think it was kind of that whole where people book and book and book reservations and then cancel them at the last minute because they gave me any time I wanted during the day.
Yeah, that's one of those. That's one of those, I think, you know, this is a good example. These breakfast character meals, I think, are you know, just a tip, you know. If you're having a hard time getting someplace like this booked, just go ahead and wait. Be patient, because with the new cancellation policy, you know, if people don't cancel these reservations 24 hours in advance, they get charged $10 a head. So 24 hours in advance, all of a sudden, there are going to be tables that become available for these character meals. And so that's a good time. You know, if you haven't been able to get one before that, just call the morning before you want to go. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if you find availability that didn't used to be there.
Yeah, we do that with all our, every time we go, we save one of our table service settings. We don't book a reservation for, because if something comes up and we decide, all right, well, we want to go here, we want to go there, we always have that one available and try to avoid paying out of pocket for it as well.
Yeah. All right. So that was number three on your list. What was number two?
Number two was strictly based on the experience. The food, none of us liked, but the experience was incredible. And that was Cinderella's Royal Table.
Wow, that has to be a pretty special experience to make two table service credits for not enjoyable food make number two on the list.
The reason it took that point on the list was because it was my daughter's birthday. So to be in the castle after her bippity-boppity appointment for breakfast with the princesses on her birthday, that's how it jumped so far up the list.
All right, but let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Jason. Would it have been that high on the list if you were paying for it out of pocket?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. And to be honest, like I said, none of us really thought the food was superb. Like, it was, I personally thought it was mediocre. That was one of the least, my least favorite meals of any of them. And I'm a big guy. I can pretty much eat anything. But I just, it wasn't, it was more, like I said, I combined what the family wanted. Both my kids had that number one. My wife had a number two. So I kind of got bumped out. I didn't even have it in my top five.
Okay. The family outvoted you. Fair enough.
Yes.
All right. So that was number two, based mostly on the experience. What got the top? Well, actually, I'm going to ask you to hold the top spot. Let's hold our number ones because okay. we'll share those together at the end. And I want to bounce back over now to Dave and have Dave give us the middle part of his list, starting there with his number four.
Yeah, sure. Number four for me is it's another quick entry, and that's Sleepy Hollow. Especially now that they have those waffle sandwiches, those are just really wonderful. And then, you know, that the waffle is the bread, and they put some great, protein, some meats in there, and some tomatoes and some other things, and you can just get it and go and move along with it and really enjoy that.
Now, see, that's interesting, because as soon as you said Sleepy Hollow, where my head went was to the waffle with the berries.
Sure.
As being a good breakfast start. I hadn't even thought about the more savory ones, but that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, and then my wife likes Nutella so much because she spent some time in Europe, and so they have a Nutella with fruit, and so she gets that as well.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Right, yep. That's one's really good. Gets you going. And then next, I want to say, just for a really quick meal at a resort, is at the Port Orleans, the Riverside Mill. Good selection there, and it's really quick. Little something for everyone. It can be anything from just your basic muffins, or you can get some cereals. You can get they have a great little waffle station there, and they even have a create your own omelet, which is nice. And I usually get that, and then everyone else gets what they want, and we're happy, and we can move along.
Yeah, that's a nice touch there for a quick serve breakfast.
Yeah, it's really nice, especially the waffle station. I mean, and you think, oh, waffle station, there's only like two or three, but there's about six or seven, you know, just sitting there ready to go.
Excellent.
And then I'm going to go also with Tusker House. That one's just, it's a fun, it's kind of relaxed setting, but it's some unique food that you can get there. One of the items was it was like a yam, I don't know what it was, a casserole. So, yeah, I guess that's what it was called. But and that's just different having that flavor in the morning. But it was the way they did it. It was really good. And then, you know, to have somebody sitting there carving, not your typical, you know, carving station, but a nice big old honey glazed ham, you know, for your breakfast is really great. And then they have this banana cinnamony bread pudding thing, and it's just wonderful. And then they keep bringing you this juice, and I don't know what it is, but that's just good stuff too. And they can't bring enough of that to the table. So that's four, three, and two right there.
All right. So we've gotten up to the top of your list. Let's hold on to the stars of the show for the end here, but. Now I'm going to go on over to Todd and have Todd kind of give us the middle of his list, starting with number four.
All right. Yeah, sure. My number four, like I said earlier, is have a lot of character breakfasts. Number four is Chef Mickey's character breakfast. It's a quintessential thing that a lot of people, it's very popular. And for us, it's kind of nostalgic because I've been going to Disney since the 70s. And back then, it was only the Contemporary and only the Polynesian, so we've stayed at the Contemporary a lot when I was younger. And so just to be there eating at Chef Mickey's with the monorail passing by, and we just love the experience.
Sure. It's a unique atmosphere. It's, you know, where else do you get to eat and have the train fly by?
Yeah. We haven't gone there yet with my young daughter, and But as soon as we get back to the world, we're definitely going to be booking that again, you know, to go eat there.
Okay. So that's four. Number three on the list?
Number three is a little off the beaten path, and this is kind of this might actually give Jason some insight about his chocolate waffles. The Roaring Forks at the Wilderness Lodge has a chocolate waffle platter where the waffles aren't actually chocolate, but they put chocolate chips and chocolate syrup and whipped cream on top of the Mickey waffles. It's excellent.
Wow. Oh,
that's incredible.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. We've stayed at the Wilderness Lodge a couple of times, and every time we eat that for breakfast, those chocolate waffles at the Roaring Forks.
And that's a quick serve location too, so you're getting some value there.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say maybe was about $8. You know, you get the waffles and you get, you know, I think some bacon or sausage, whichever you choose, you know, with that platter.
Sure. All right. And then number two?
Number two is Ohana's character breakfast with Lilo and Stitch. And it's served family style. We're real big fans of Ohana's, especially the dinners. But then our last trip, we tried the breakfast out for the first time, and we really liked it. And the food is excellent. The big sausages that they give you, it's not just a normal little skinny link of sausage, just these big fat sausages that they give you. And then the home style type of fries that they give you are like really, really seasoned, and they're really tasty. And, you know, as much as you want to eat, they'll keep bringing it to you. Like I said, it's family style, and just Ohana's, the atmosphere. And I believe they also give that, it's a special type of juice, I think the same as the one at the Tusker House. It's like a mix between like a guava nectar and an orange juice, but they also serve that there too.
Yeah, that's the pog juice.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, we pineapple, orange, guava.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Okay, and then I'm sorry, was that number?
Yeah, that was number two.
That was number two. Okay. Well, I think this is coming through really interestingly because you know, I'm going to go through the middle of mine here, and you're going to find that, you know, so far we're gonna list 16 choices here, and I don't think we're gonna have any. We're gonna have one repeat through these first 16, because number four on my list was Boulangerie Patisserie in France, in Epcot. And what we liked about that is one of our favorite ways to do breakfast is that we'll hit the bakery at the park that we're in at the very end of the night, right before we leave a park, and then just, you know, pick out pastries that we can eat in the morning. All right, we're returning to that theme of how quickly can we get breakfast out of the way and get on to moving on to the parks. So the end of the night, we'll stop at the bakery, we'll get what we want for breakfast the next morning, take it back with us to the room, stick it in the refrigerator, and then, you know, one person's eating breakfast while somebody else is getting dressed in the morning, and, you know, again, we're done with breakfast and on our way, and we've had a really nice breakfast. Essentially the same things that we could have gotten at the bakery in the park. So Boulangerie Patisserie was number two, or number four, especially because of the really good chocolate croissant. Then we get to the one repeat that I think we'll have here, and that is that number three on my list was the Main Street Bakery. Pretty much the same story as the Boulangerie in Epcot. If we're in the Magic Kingdom, one of the last things we'll do is hit the Main Street Bakery, pick up cinnamon rolls, pick up, again, the chocolate croissants or regular croissants, get a whole, you know, variety of things, pack them up, take them with us back to the resort, and we got them ready to hit the ground moving in the morning. Also, you'll notice that my breakfast, I'm kind of the cheapskate when it comes to breakfast, right? I mean, so far we've had one value resort food court and a couple of bakeries. But number two on my list is my favorite splurge at Walt Disney World. And that is having breakfast at the concierge lounge at the Polynesian Resort. We stayed concierge lounge at the Poly for our first trip. And I got to tell you, I can't really say it was worth the money in terms of, you know, just the food offerings. But being able to get up in the morning and go and have, you know, a variety of things available to us at breakfast, pastry type stuff again, that kind of stuff. But they also had Pog juice available, which the kids absolutely loved and we liked too, but it made sure that the kids, you know, drank something healthy. It was just really good. You know, we really enjoyed it. It was a really nice atmosphere. It wasn't so crazy in the morning. It kind of allowed you to wake up slowly, but at the same time, not have to stand in line at a restaurant and, you know, wait around. It was a nice combination of a really nice quick breakfast, but without feeling rushed. And, you know, it was a splurge. Would I do it again? Maybe eventually. It was not, you know, it's awfully expensive. But it was also a really nice experience. And I think that it made that first trip a little bit easier for us, and we really enjoyed it.
A couple of years back, we stayed at the beach club, and we were actually upgraded free of charge to the concierge there to the
very nice club.
And we really enjoyed that, and I can kind of same sentiment. You know, it's a really nice to have that concierge just to go whenever you want to grab a little snack here and there, and you know, it's not a direct representation or how can I say this? You can't basically use it as a breakfast, you know, for us. You know, it's not really a full breakfast for us. We still, you know, but it's a good for a snack for us. And luckily we didn't have to pay for it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's not a full breakfast. I wouldn't make that argument, but we're not breakfast people so much for the most part. So, you know, that it worked for us. It was a good substitute. All right. Well, before we move on to our sort of the stars of the show here, the number ones on all of our lists, it's time to put our rookie on the hot seat because Todd is here for the first time on the Diz Dads podcast, and that means that we all need to learn a little bit more about him. And so, Todd, are you ready to take on 10 questions?
I'm ready to take a crack at it.
All right. Question number one. Where do you live and what do you do for a living?
I live in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I am an AutoCAD draftsman for an engineering firm.
Okay. Describe your family.
I'm married to my wife, Brandy, since 2009, and we have a 2-year-old daughter, Marie, who just turned 2 in June.
What is your favorite off-the-beaten-path location at Walt Disney World?
I was thinking about this. You know, when I knew I was going to have to be in the hot seat here, and I think the number one place I like to go that's off the beaten path is down there. Flame Tree Barbecue has all these little nooks and crannies, and they have this one particular seating area that's down by the water that gives you a perfect view of Expedition Everest, and we always like to go down there and eat our lunch when we're at Animal Kingdom, so I would say that's my spot.
Nice spot. I like that. What is your least favorite place at Walt Disney World?
My least favorite is the bus stops at Downtown Disney's Marketplace. For some reason, every time we go to Downtown Disney and we're at the Marketplace and we're going to leave, especially, it takes forever for the bus for our resort to come. I don't know why, but we're always there like 30 minutes or 40 minutes before we catch a bus. So that's my least favorite place.
All right. Who is your favorite animated Disney character?
Chernabog. I like old the school villains. Yeah, I like the villains. I actually collect his pins, you know, all the pins I can collect. I collect his, and yeah, just a cool, you know, evil representation there. So I just like him. He's really cool.
All right.
Is that a first?
I think that is. That's our first. It may be our first Fantasia character.
I think it is.
What sound or noise do you love?
There's a tie, I think, for this one. It's either between any of the monorail spiels, whether it be the Por Favor line or just any of the lines, and the background loop at the Polynesian.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Parents yelling at their kids in the parks.
That's not a first.
The kids either tired or something's going wrong, and the parents are yelling. I've spent so much money on this trip, you're going to have a good time, and that sort of thing is just that I don't like that sound.
What career other than your own would you like to attempt?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. So I'd say that's what I'd like to do, an astronaut or for NASA or something of that nature.
What job would you not like to do?
I think this was said on once before, a restroom cleaner or kitchen cleaner, something like that, a sanitation worker.
Okay.
That's not for me.
And then finally, if you could be a Disney cast member for 1 year and only for 1 year, what job would you want to do for that year?
I would like to be a monorail pilot. I've always liked the monorails, and I consider that one of the must-do rides every time we go. So I'd like to be a monorail pilot.
Okay. Well, nice job, Todd. Todd Bro, you've completed 10 questions. You may now step down off the hot seat.
Good job. Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. So now that you're off the hot seat, why don't you start us off? Your number one breakfast location at Walt Disney World.
Well, this is going to be a repeat from someone said this evening. Our number one is the Crystal Palace.
All right. So tell us, though. I mean, somebody else had it down as about number five. So tell us why, for you, it's number one.
Well, first of all, my wife, it's her favorite, so I guess it's my favorite as well.
This is the one place you don't have to always like what your wife likes.
Well, I know. But no, we really all like it. Me especially, they have this one thing, and I think it's actually on the kids' menu. It's a stuffed French toast or puffed French toast. It's basically almost like a beignet, kind of, you know, being from the South. It's basically a fried donut with cinnamon and sugar coated on the outside. And man, those things are amazing. So I really like those. And then we also really like the fact that they have the omelet station. Basically, you can cook them to order. And my family especially, we don't care for scrambled eggs too much. We like over easy eggs, so we can always get, you know, our cooked eggs to right there at the same time as, you know, our omelets. And then, of course, the interaction with the characters, my daughter and my family, we all love the interaction with Pooh and Tigger and that sort of thing. So just it's number one in our books. We always, every trip, we are always eating at Crystal Palace.
All right. Now, see, there's a good point, right? Because most of these buffet restaurants, you're not getting real eggs. You're getting that, you know, egg substitute stuff. If they're making you a different, what'd you say, you're getting an over easy egg or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, over easy, over medium, yeah, cooked eggs, you know, instead of scrambled eggs. Yeah. And actually, I've seen people ask for fresh scrambled eggs before. I've seen, you know, other people.
Right. So you can get a real egg. That's a pretty good argument for number one. All right. So how about you, Dave?
For me, I'm a pineapple nut. I just love pineapple. And so number one for me has to be Kona Cafe. And for me, it's the macadamia pineapple pancakes. I'm getting kind of hungry just thinking about them right now. It's just something about it, and then the butter that's on it, and then you get a choice of meat with it. It's just I love it, and you know, and second behind that would be the Tonga toast that you can get there.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I like about Kona Cafe is that you can get real coffee there, like good real coffee.
Yeah, the only place really.
You know, a press pot of Kona coffee, it ain't cheap, but it's worth the price.
Yeah, that stuff is that's wonderful.
All right, and on the top of your list, Jason?
Ohana. I know it was further down on some people's lists. It's become our tradition. It is our last meal every time we're there, our last full meal. We do breakfast at Ohana on our last day. Really don't know what did it. I don't know if it's the experience or the food or a combination of it all, but when we did our list, that was top one or two from all four of us.
So, well, you know, One of the things that I think is nice about the character breakfast at Ohana is that it's served family style. A few of these are, but you know, there aren't as many, and I really appreciate these family style meals because, especially with two kids, it's a challenge to do a buffet because, you know, I mean, I guess my daughter's now getting to the point where she's old enough she can go up by herself, but. You know, when we've been in the past, somebody's got to accompany a kid every time they want to go up to the buffet. And so it seems like we're constantly shuffling back and forth and looking over our shoulders and you're trying to make sure that you don't miss a character while you're up there. And I think the family style just makes all that so much easier.
Yeah. And we have, my daughter doesn't like eggs at all. Like even if they touch anything,
okay.
She'll eat everything else. But as soon as we go in there, if you ask them, they'll put the eggs in a separate dish, like immediately, just like as if it was an allergy. They'll do, you know, they'll make sure they don't touch anything else in that family style bowl they send everything in. And we just, like I said, we had good experiences there, and that's a big thing. That's one of the reasons Crystal Palace was a little bit lower, is we had one bad experience there in three trips, and it kind of took it down a little bit when we were talking about it.
Yeah. Well, on the top of my list, you know, and I guess, again, topping my cheapskate breakfast list, you know, with the exception, obviously, of the concierge lounge at the Polynesian, although, you know, using the morning snack at the Poly to escape having to actually, you know, pay for real breakfast, I think it may still qualify as a cheapskate breakfast. But in any case, I think that ultimately we're just going to have to declare the Polynesian the king of breakfasts at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Because
agreed.
Once I finish here, every possible breakfast option at the Polynesian Resort will have been mentioned. Because mm-hmm. number one on my list is Captain Cook's, the quick serve restaurant at the Polynesian. Sure. Because to me, it's the best of both worlds. You go to Captain Cook's and you can get Tonga toast, just like you can get upstairs at Kona Cafe. Except that it's several dollars cheaper because they serve it to you on a paper plate with plastic utensils. Now, I won't lie, Tonga toast is really thick, and it's kind of a challenge to eat it with plastic utensils. So, you know, maybe it's worth a couple of bucks for real metal. I don't know. But I know it tasted just as good. And so at the top of my list, it's my favorite little kind of, you know, morning at the Magic Kingdom trick is to go ahead and head over to the Magic Kingdom, hop a transportation, you know, whether it's a boat or a monorail, back across to the Polynesian, run into Captain Cook's for breakfast, back across the lake there, and you're still back at the Magic Kingdom, plenty of time for rope drop. So, that would mean that Captain Cook's, Ohana, Kona Cafe, and the concierge lounge in the Hawaii Longhouse at the Polynesian all made the top five lists for breakfast at Walt Disney World.
That's amazing how that worked out.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you all have heard our lists. We'd love to hear what's on your lists for your favorite breakfasts at Walt Disney World. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. You can visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Hey, tell us we were wrong. Tell us what's better. Just let us know and participate in the discussion. It makes all of our trips that much better when we all share our experiences. Thanks for participating, everybody. It's been nice chatting with you, Jason.
Good night.
Dave.
See you guys.
Todd.
Have a good night, and I hope to do this again soon.
And I will be back with you next time. Thanks for listening.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know. Like, is there eggs in the fridge?
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
This has been a Wizard of Oz production.